Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Tom Kyle.
Jesus and donuts? Thank you for saving some for the rest. I heard you did great last week.
He did.
Amen and amen. I want to welcome again all the guests here this morning. If you're new or newish, we want to welcome you here to Life Church St. Peter's. I missed last week also, so welcome back to me. I was in the UK for 8-9 days and had a great time there in our sister church working with some amazing people, and saw a meeting where several hundred teenagers got born again. It was amazing, exciting, and thrilling, and so it was a great time there. All those folks with live stream who are watching, we welcome you, wish you were here with us this morning, but have a great time. I trust the sound and pictures coming through beautifully. I'm always amazed how many people come up to me during the week and say, oh, I watched your live stream and everything, and so it's a service we hope to continue providing here. We value it, and so just welcome all the live stream folks. Thank you for all those folks who are praying for me. I came back riding a little low in the saddle from England, health-wise and whatnot, but I'm here. I am feeling much better, but thank you for praying. And on that note, this week we also had the day of prayer. It was kind of centered down in off of it's Main Street, St. Charles. Man, I used to work at a church down there for years. How easy we forget. But it was powerful, amazing. For Linda and Ivan, thank you for being kind of a focal point for that, all the folks who are down there. And could I just take just a second? I would love to pray for our community real quick and our nation real quick. But before I do that, I also want to pray. Every week we pray for two churches. It's part of our DNA. We've done it since the church started. And you think, why do we do that? Because we all wear the same jersey in the body of Christ. And I loathe and hate church competition and insecure churches fighting. Mostly it's not the churches, it's the leaders fighting amongst themselves. It's ugly. But I had a friend forward to me this week that the United Methodist Church has kind of made a 180 in some of their significant biblical understanding and doctrine. So can I have everybody stand if you're able? If it's a struggle, just stay right where you're at. We're with you. I just want to pray for the United Methodist Church and just peace over our nation. Father, I thank you for what you're doing amongst our brothers and sisters at United Methodist Church across this nation. Thank you, Lord, that they love you. They are for you. They love what the Word of God says. And Father, I pray blessing on courageous leaders to stand for Jesus, stand for the power of the Word of God in the face of culture in this country that would want to shout down the truth of the Bible and shout down truth. Lord, embolden those leaders and that church denomination to stand for you, Jesus, to stand for truth. We thank you for them, Lord. Bless them. May heaven open up over the Methodist Church in this nation. Pour out your Spirit. Fill even in this community, Lord. Fill the Methodist churches to overflowing, Lord. It's standing room only. Their youth rooms would be standing room only, spilling and splashing over. Father, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing amongst that denomination. We bless them. And Lord, for what we see in our country happening over the last few weeks, Lord, I pray for peace. I thank you, as Kim came up this morning and said our fight isn't against flesh and blood, not elephants and donkeys. Father, our fight is not against people, but it's against principalities and spirits that want to dominate, want to shout, want to yell, want to incite people against what is right and good and moral. Father, I pray for peace in our nation. We take authority over demonic spirits that want to divide, create mob mentality, to shout hate and propagate hate. Father, we stand against that in Jesus' name and say, you have no authority.
No authority.
The kingdom of heaven is the authority and the ultimate authority here. And we stand with heaven and we speak blessing over this nation and peace over this nation and truth over this nation. Father, we will not stand for hate in our country towards any people group. Father, we won't stand for it in Jesus' name. I thank you for the privilege of being born in this nation. None of us picked this country to be born in. But Lord, you've called us to live in this country and reside in this country and to understand the kingdom of heaven and what you value, what you treasure. Father, I pray that you would embolden leaders, godly leaders in our country to stand up for truth, to stand up for righteousness' sake, for justice, Lord God. We stand against hate. Yes. We stand against divisions and separating in Jesus' name. Father, that the gospel of Jesus would go forth in this country and do what only it can do, which is heal hearts and heal this nation. Father, we pray for the nation of Israel and we bless Israel in Jesus' name. Thank you for that country and for what is yet to be done in the nation of Israel. We bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to continue on in a series on the book of Acts. I started several weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, before I went to England, I started on chapter 6. And it's one of my favorite chapters in the whole book. And it was just the challenge from chapter 6 as it started. Hey, and if you have children and they're making noise, good. Good. This is family. Like that. See, right on cue. I just know some churches are all uptight about, and the ushers are browbeating people. So if you're, you know, your kids are squawking a little bit, I know most of them go out, you know, certain ages and whatnot. But it's one of those things, you know, you think, we're family together. And we love, one of the things that my wife and I pray all the time is that in the house of God, we hear the sound of babies, natural and spiritual. And so we love what Jesus is doing, and we want to see more and more and more young people, babies, spiritual babies, bring them on in Jesus' name. So, a couple of weeks ago, Acts chapter 6, one of the first speed bumps occurred in the New Testament church. It started a couple thousand years ago, and a major, major problem happened. There was favoritism in the church between the two different Jewish groups who came out of the background. The only people who were in the early church were Jewish. And there was the Aramaic-speaking Jews, which was more traditionalist, the Hellenistic Jews, which are more Greek, contemporary, non-traditional. And there arose a dispute. The Hellenistic, the non-traditional, progressive more folks in the church felt that their widows were being discriminated against. They were being overlooked. And that the older, more traditional ladies, for whatever reason, whether it was intended or unintentional, there was a dispute, there was hurt, there was anger, there was frustration, and disturbance, conflict happened in the church. Anybody ever been in a church where there's conflict? And if you haven't, stick around. Why? Because people are involved. Humanity, we bring our stuff in with our attitudes and our priorities and our opinions on what should be and what shouldn't be. What's healthy, what's unhealthy, what's normal, what's abnormal. And the church, as outlined in Acts chapter 6, had this massive problem. In Acts 5, it had started with Ananias and Sapphira. Not a good moment for the church, but a beautiful moment for the church because Holy Spirit was there. In Acts chapter 6, now it's people conflict again. And the church leaders were amazing. The apostles, the dynamic leaders that Jesus had set in, were wise and discerning and understood. They didn't dismiss the problem. They didn't rebuke the people. They didn't say, oh, what's your problem? Change your attitudes. Like, this is a real problem. There's racism. There's favoritism. There's looking down on one people group upon another people group. An old problem that was existed before the church has now made its way into the church, which we see so often in our society. And it takes the wisdom of heaven, the wisdom of the kingdom of God, to bring health and life and peace. And that's exactly what they did. The leaders chose amongst them leaders, some from the Aramaic-speaking people, some from the Hellenistic-speaking people. And these disciples, these deacons, as they were called, which the word deacon only means servant. In many churches, it means a lot more than servant. It means powerhouse people, power brokers, hire and fire pastors type people. But the word deacon, diaconus, it just means a servant. Nothing more, nothing less. It's a servant. And these men, these people were set in to bring rule, to bring order, to bring peace where there's chaos, hurt had been happening, and now to bring healing. And what I mentioned 2 weeks ago was they didn't just bring in, and I don't mean anything towards this people group, this gifting at all. They didn't just bring in a bunch of administrators. What they needed was the gift of administration, clearly for their problem. But they chose wise and discerning people who were full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of wisdom. Not the people who just knew how to do spreadsheets. And for those who know how to do those things, I don't even know what that means. But it sounds like it's important. I love chapter 6 of the book of Acts. One of the men that we're going to look at this morning, and primarily only him, is a man named Stephen. If you've read through the book of Acts, if you read through the New Testament, this man stands out. He was one of just the deacons. And in fact, this guy has made such a mark on my own heart that my wife and I chose to name our first son Stephen after this man. And I remember reading the Bible in 1977, fresh from knowing nothing. And I was like, and I read about this man in Acts 6 and 7. I was like, this guy is amazing. I didn't even know what a deacon was, but I thought that's a pretty big badge. That's got to be a big star. My wife wanted the name Kevin, but she was wrong. She promised that I wouldn't say anything about that. So our eldest son, Stephen, is Stephen, not Kevin. And Kevin's a fine name. But it's just this man and how he lived and who he was, not what he did. Amazing. He was a powerhouse guy. And his first and only job at this point is sort out the problem amongst the widows. That was his job. Got a whole bunch of ladies who were hurting, arguing, bickering, sort it out. That takes a brave man to step into that. But I love this guy. I've always loved Stephen. And potentially and probably, Stephen came from the Hellenistic Jews group in his background, probably. No guarantee, and it's in some ways irrelevant. We'll touch on that in just a second. But Stephen was a choice of the people, by the people, of the people, from the people. And they recognized within this man, that guy, there's something different about him. And it's not just that he's good with numbers. It's not just that he's good with spreadsheets. He is full of the Holy Spirit. We'll read more about that in just a minute. People weren't just chosen to sort out the problem, not just average folks. So we didn't, hey, we're going to get Billy, Carl, Edgar, Bucky. Come on, you're not doing anything. Clam, Scooter, you're good with a mop. We want you to be a deacon. Anybody good with Excel spreadsheets? These were powerhouse people, Holy Ghost people, amazing men that were chosen to do a task and then continue on doing tasks. Six selections that were chosen. Let's read in Acts chapter 6, verse 8 to 15. Chapter 6, verse 8 to 15 out of the book of Acts. I'll be reading from the NIV. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us this morning. Help me this morning. that we would catch your heart, that we would read from the power of your word, that it would impact me, that it would impact us, that we could see you, Jesus, through the beauty and tapestry that you so beautifully wove together in the Word of God. We could take from what happened 2,000 years ago to a people, to a man. And Lord, we could learn, we could glean, we could receive. And that would impact my life, our life. And Lord, we would look more like Jesus as a result of time spent in your Word this morning. Help us, Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Acts chapter 6, verse 8 through 15. Now Stephen, the man we're speaking of, a man full of God's grace and power, a man full of God's grace and power, he performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria. These are the synagogue of freedmen were outside the church. These were non-Jesus followers. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. This is our deacon. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, this is called a lie, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So they, the synagogue of the freedmen, so they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. And they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw a red-faced, scowling man, angry, veins bursting in his neck. I'll show you. Tell lies about me. Verse 15, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. His reputation impugned. He's an intelligent man. He's known in the community. He's so known in the Jewish community that when the church started, this guy, Stephen, is amazing. Loves God, knows the Bible. And now he's a follower of Jesus. Oh, the Jews knew who he was. And now they're making up lies about him. Anybody ever had people make up lies about you? Don't raise your hands. I would have two up and a foot. It doesn't feel good when people are making up lies about you, sullying your reputation, saying things that you would never say, couldn't say. But there's a whole people group that he's standing before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, and they all want blood. And the synagogue of the freedmen, just a quick digression, there's a lot of debate who these people really were. I find kind of the play on words kind of fun here. This group of freedmen, how are they using their freedom? We're going to lie about you. We're going to hate on you. We're going to stir up dissension. We're going to rile up the crowd. We're going to get a mob mentality against you, Stephen, because we don't like what you're doing. So we're just going to lie about you. That's how these synagogue of the freedmen were using their power. And they were, the synagogue of the freedmen, they were from the Hellenistic Jewish people in Jerusalem. They were from the scattered parts, from Alexandria, Cilicia, the scripture says. These were not the typical traditional Aramaic speaking Jews. They're Jewish. But you had two different groups, the traditionalists and the non-traditionalists. And the synagogue of the freedmen were from the Hellenistic side, which is probably what many church historians think why Stephen himself, that was his background, was as a Hellenistic Jew. Because we know you, how dare you misrepresent and tell all these people that Jesus is the Messiah. We will argue with you, Stephen. We know you. And so Stephen is being attacked by his own history, his own people group from his background, which might incite him a little more, potentially. But his response is unbelievable. It's stellar. Verse 9, reading again. Same chapter. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen. I wonder how I'm using my freedom that God's called me into. Because I know what I was like before. I wonder how I'm using the freedom that I have now. Am I bringing other people into freedom? Or, like in the book of Galatians, they rejected and left the freedom that they were living and had learned from Jesus and went back to traditions. They began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. And they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin, the same people that had denounced Jesus. Now Stephen is standing up. And the whole group has been stirred up by dissension, stirred up by mob mentality. The crowd is wound up. They're making up stuff. Why would they do such a thing? Jealous? Yeah, probably. Angry? Afraid? Probably very afraid. What are they afraid of? Losing power? That's what most leaders who get weird and ugly, that's usually what the problem is. Jealousy? Afraid of losing power, afraid of losing people, losing influence. Why were the Sanhedrin so uptight? Probably very afraid. This Jesus that we killed, it's not stopping. Maybe it was just misplaced religious zeal. We would know as believers, we can point the finger at demonic activity. Stirring up of a crowd, dissension, mob mentality. The devil loves it. Spread some lies, create some dissension. It works. It's always worked with humans. What are you talking about? Eve in the garden. The serpent, Satan. So simple, so subtle, so effective. Here's a lie. God's holding out on you. She believed it. And there was a divide between heaven and earth because of dissension. Joseph and his brothers, if you read Genesis 37 to 50, again, one of my heroes in the Bible, Joseph. Dissension in the family. His brothers, jealous, upset money's going to go to this cocky, arrogant little kid. And so dissension amongst the family. And the dissension was what? Stir it up. To kill him. That was what the brothers said. Let's kill him when they saw him coming. Dissension is powerful. Very effective amongst humanity. Moses in the wilderness. We had meat in our pots. We had leeks and onions. Who is this Moses? Let's go back. And the crowds and the mob mentality rose up against Moses. King Saul with David. Who is this impudent young kid? Jonathan, my son. This is DNA. Now we're not talking about church. We're talking about Bible. King Saul, threatened by the anointing on a young man named David, stirred up an entire army against David and chased and hunted him down in the wilderness. Mob mentality. Lies. Fabricated stories about David. Haman towards Mordecai in the book of Esther. Stirred up a king and an entire nation to kill all the Jews. Dissension. Lies. So effective. The Pharisees, give us Barabbas. What do? They stirred up and incited a mob. Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Instead of the sweet King of heaven, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Mob mentality. You see it in the New Testament, in the book of Acts in chapter 14, where a mob, Jews came down from somewhere where Paul had just been, incited a mob, and they took Paul out and stoned him. Mob mentality, dissension, gossips, strife. Folks, if we can just understand the devil's devices and then run from it in our church and our families, dissension, gossips, little whispers. It's the number one ploy of the enemy. He's used it since the Garden of Eden. What about them? Rawr, rawr. And the problem is with someone like Joseph. He was a cocky kid, 17, 18 years old, and his brothers hated his cockiness, his arrogance. And I guarantee you, it was there. Hey, I had a cool dream. All you guys get to bow down to me. Cool, huh? Right. Hey, guess I had another one. Let's tell Mom and Dad about it. Oh, his brothers loathed him. Was he full of himself? Oh, yeah. Was he cocky little squirt mouth of a kid? Yeah. And you know what? In the church, we see impurities. We see arrogance. We see things in each other. How do I handle it when I see immaturity? Well, let me rephrase that. How do you handle it when you see immaturity in me? Isn't that funny? I'm going to go try this side. How do you handle it when you see insecurities inside of me? Failures, weaknesses. Well, if he was truly the leader, he's... Now, most of the time that doesn't happen because we put leaders way too lofty. But it's so easy to do as Joseph and his brothers. It's so easy to do amongst the family when people irritate us and annoy us. Can I just say this? Especially when they're anointed as well. If somebody's just being stupid, well, they're just stupid. But what do you do amongst those people who are just stinking anointed? And they stink and annoy me. How am I going to handle my words, my mind, my thoughts, my heart? What am I going to do? Goodness gracious. Mob mentality. It's been around since the Garden of Eden. And we see it in our streets today in this country. Mob mentality. People fueling other people. With leaders, it's so difficult. The problem is dissension and gossip and slander and talking. It's so effective. But the synagogue of freedmen created chaos. Lord, help us. Help us to see. Help us to understand. Help us to move forward. As we struggle with our own feelings of we see injustice and we see things that are wrong and they said this about me and didn't even say it about me. They just think this about me because of the way I carry myself. Well, Tom, you don't understand what pain feels like. You don't know what it feels like when people make up lies about you. Or if the wrong people are being, actually, Randy and I do. We were asked to lead a church years ago. And we went into the church. And within 6 weeks, we knew if we stay, we're going to cause a church split. 6 weeks. We'd moved our family thousands of miles to lead this church. And it became very clear that we weren't the flavor they were looking for. And ugly things were said and done behind scenes. Ugly things. And if we stayed, we're going to cause a church split. And so we, because of things that were being said about us, and worse if we stayed, we packed our stuff, changed our school, moved our kids out of a school we just moved to, already took them away from grandparents and family, so that a church split wouldn't happen. Very costly when people attack you. And if you want to stand for it, you know, stand for what you think is truth, because it is truth to you, to know it's only going to cause more pain, more problem. And my wife and I, we have no desire in causing church splits. So that's just one of them. I won't elaborate on any of the other things that have happened similar to it over the years. So we do know what it feels like to have things being said about you that are grossly untrue, and at least from our perspective, factually untrue. It's okay. Happens. It kind of happened to Jesus. They impugned him, lied about him, made up things about him. And Jesus didn't open his mouth in response, the scripture says. Amazing. It's a challenge. Self-awareness. Do I understand the importance of unity? Do I understand the importance of family? Do I understand what it takes to create and keep peace, make peace in a church family when reputations are being maligned? It's so important. Can we read on? Okay. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. We're going to skip through one of the most amazing messages. We may come back to it in a week. But Stephen, before the Sanhedrin in chapter 7, gave one of the most amazing messages you will read in all of Scripture. And he finished strong. Everybody say, finish strong. Finish strong. And I do want to say, well, let me just read it. This is how the finish of the sermon was. This is before the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of all the Jews in Jerusalem, the leader of the leaders. This is how Stephen finished this amazing message. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He's concluding. He's wrapping up. This is Stephen. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised, which is such a good word for a Jewish people. They love that. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through the angels, but have not obeyed it. Dude, you got to work on that soft, fuzzy clothes. But he told the truth. It's got to end up right. It's got to end up good. He told the truth. Reading on, Acts chapter 7, 54 through 60. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full, this is the one constant with this guy, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, this is Stephen now. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, one man. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Segway. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Coming soon into the story. Verse 59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This man full of the Holy Spirit, with his dying breath, sounds just like Jesus. They're murdering a righteous man. The synagogue of the freedmen, the Sanhedrin. This is how those people chose to express their love. And like all people, they thought they were doing the right thing and doing something good for God. What could have been in their minds? Again, anger, hurt, jealousy, fear. It still happens today in so many churches. We split, we divide. What do we call our stoning of one another? Let's just create another denomination. Let's go for it. Church splits. Happy, separate, and divide. So many problems. Most of the problems that I've witnessed in my 47 years as a Christian, 30 plus years leading churches, most of the time, it's arrogant, controlling, competitive leaders. Most of the time. Fighting over things that aren't theirs. People aren't ours. The money is not ours. The building is not ours. It's people fighting over doctrines and over money and power. Of course, we would never say that. And our mortal enemy, Satan, and the demonic forces, they love it. And they cause dissensions amongst bodies and amongst leaders. So what do we do? How do we do? What in the world? Gosh, this is such a positive message, Tom. I love it. Gosh, when are you handing out the chocolate? What do I do? Can I just read some passages, some scripture real quick? Proverbs 4, what do I do? What do I do? So that dissension, a mob mentality, jealousy, anger, hurt, perceived injustice, and real injustices. What do I do when lies are being said about me? What do I do? How do I handle that? It's not right. I know. It was done to Jesus. What do I do? Proverbs 4, 23 to 26. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, verse 23. Above all else. What does that mean? Above all else. What are you talking about? Above everything else. Guard your heart. Protect it. The sweet water from heaven that flows through me, make sure it stays sweet. Make sure it's still flowing. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Verse 24, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful, Lord Jesus, help me. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Does it make any difference what I say when I've been hurt to other people as I'm leaving or as I've left? Does it make a difference what I say? I don't have to lie. What did we say when we left that church, and it went somewhere else, moved to a different church? What did we say? God's called us to lead this other church. Well, what about the one you just got to? Well, those leaders are great, and they're going to lead this church. We're going to move to this other church. Well, what about when you said you're coming here? I know. Well, we're going to go lead this other church, and these leaders are great. They're great without me. We had a friend of ours a number of years ago. His name is Peter, and his wife, they started a church years ago, and it's a dynamic church. And he and his wife suffered incredible loss. They lost a son, a grandson, a grandma, a mom, all within like 6 weeks. Five significant, massive deaths and their personal family. This is an incredible couple leading the church, friends of ours. And while they were grieving, the church was stolen from them by a couple of their under-elder leaders. Stolen from them, just flat out stolen from them. And so what did this couple do? They left. Because if they'd stayed, they'd caused the whole church to split. And they're more interested in the family not having dissension and division amongst it. So they left. They started the church. They left. And I was in this man's company years later when one of the guys, actually the main guy's name was brought up, who stole the church from him. Call him Floyd. Is there a Floyd here? Okay, we're good. Floyd, hey, tell me about Floyd. Blah, 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 blah. Didn't you used to go to church with Floyd? He was a leader, blah, 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 blah. Tell me about Floyd. And this man, and Floyd stole the church. My friend sat there and said, ah, Floyd, he's a good man. What? Only thing that came out of his mouth was, he's a good man. And the beautiful thing is now, a couple of decades later, all the leaders' hearts are restored back. All the leaders on one page. Repentance happened. I think because one man chose Jesus' route, kingdom of heaven. I could blow the whole thing up if I told the truth, factually. He said, I'd rather protect the Church of Jesus Christ rather than my reputation. Oh, I learned so many beautiful stories from people in pain. Psalms 15, 2 through 5. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. You okay? Just a couple more. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable. Those are strong words. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. People, we serve a totally upside down kingdom. What do I do when I'm being taken advantage of? What do I do when people are lying about me? What do I do when people are misrepresenting my character? And if I told the other side, oh, there's another side. What if I chose not to tell the other side and trust my reputation with Jesus? It hurts. And I certainly have not done it right every time, but I am learning to do it right. Matthew 5, this is Jesus. That's good stuff, always, red letters. Matthew 5, 38. This is Jesus talking about an upside down kingdom called the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of heaven, of your Father in heaven, who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect. Therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus loves humility. And Jesus always backs his word in his way. Well, great, what do I do? That's a great, but how? Three quickies. What do I do with all this? How does this affect me? My question for me and you, how can I preserve peace and unity and a sense of heaven in the family, in this family, in your family? How can I guard my heart? Three simple things. One, Think about the self-talk going inside my head, inside your head. Self-talk. What's happening? Is it beautiful? Is it wholesome? Is it kind? All the self-talk, is it loving or is it replaying what was said about me, to me? Have I been able to stop and take hold of those thoughts, as the scripture teaches? Take captive those thoughts and execute the prisoners. But take captive those thoughts in my mind. And don't have a myriad of dialogue going on my self-talk. How can I preserve unity? Create and keep peace in my own mind by not letting ugly things run rampant, like ants spewing out of an anthill, my thoughts. Take hold of them. What happens in my home, in my actual physical home, if you're with someone, if there's more than one person living at your address? What's my conversation like at home? Am I talking about the pain, the ugly, the hurt, the problem, years later? When it's fresh, I understand. But years, months and years later, still dialoguing the pain, the injustice, the wrong, the reputation, the lies that were spoken. What does my home talk sound like? And last and finally, what is my talk outside of my house with my brothers and my sisters? Think about Joseph and his brothers. Well, it's all in the family. Well, those 10, 11 brothers conspired to kill a man named Joseph and threw him into prison and ruin his life. It makes a difference what we say when we're with our brothers and sisters. It makes a difference what we say. I'm not saying what it's a lie, but is it beautiful what we're talking about? Or are we influencing one another towards ugliness? What is my brother and sister talk like? Yeah, they have idiosyncrasies. Yes, they do. Yes, we do. But what's good about them? Well, that's going to take some thought. Let's think about it then. Let's find the gold inside of that mine. What can we talk about that's good? Father, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your patience with me, with us. I thank you, Jesus, that with all my failures, all my inconsistencies, you didn't kick me out the door. But you keep challenging me in kindness and in truth and in heaven's integrity. You keep challenging my ways and how I'm dealing with my pain, my hurt, the injustices done me. Whether they're real or not real, Lord, I just feel injustice. Help me, Holy Spirit, to deal with my pain and to come out on the other side healthy, to learn how to guard my heart and not become a prison, but a free-flowing well of water. They don't become a pond backed up with no in and no out, because I'm not going to let anything or anyone ugly ever hurt me again. Father, may we receive healing in our hearts. And like a Stephen, Father, when they're throwing rocks, when the rocks are coming my way, I've got a face like an angel. And when the rocks are hitting me, when horrible, ugly things are being said about me, whether they're true or untrue, may, Lord, may my words be like Stephen's and like our Lord Jesus. Father, forgive them their sin. Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. Bless them instead. Father, help this family continue to grow in health. Help us to guard our minds, our tongues, and our hearts. When we see the immaturities and the inconsistencies that are all there in all of us, Father, that we help one another, that if we have an offense, we go to that brother. Matthew 18, we go to only them to sort it out. And if it doesn't work, then I bring someone else in to the conversation. Help me, Father, to believe the Bible and walk the Bible out as the Bible says. But, Father, to think the best, believe the best, hope the best. Father, I wouldn't assign poor motive to people, but I would actually believe, what if their motives are good? What if their motives are helpful? Lord, what if any of the things they're saying about me is actually true? Lord, help me be self-aware. Help me to see the ugly inside of me, the immaturity, that I can grow and change, and people who love me enough to tell me the truth in love. Help me, Lord. Help us grow as a family to be straight and true, not perfect, very imperfect. But Lord, help us to love the kingdom of heaven. Love your ways. Love how you do life, Jesus. Work amongst us as only you can. Mighty Spirit of God, have your way. And bless us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Can I have everyone stand if you're able? If you'd like someone to pray with you, you've got some things going on the inside that you're just not reconciling. You need somebody to stand with you, whether it's health, matter of your finances, friction in your relationships at home with those that you love and care for. We have a prayer team. We'd love to pray with you. You can just come right on up after the meeting finishes. We'd love to stand with you. Other than that, be blessed, be encouraged. I know Stephen Newton has got a whole bunch of donuts left over from 129 because they're givers, they're sharers. So have an amazing week. Be blessed, be encouraged. We love you. Bless you. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.